Good morning. Good morning and welcome everyone to the 9:40 service at Trinity United Methodist Church. If you would come on in, find yourself a seat. As always, there's plenty of seating up front. That's how you know whenever you go to a meeting there's a bunch of Methodists there, whenever the back row fills up first and the front's empty. Well, it's my pleasure to welcome each of you here to service this morning. And as we say, welcome home. It is great to be home, and it is a pleasure to be here as part of God's congregation at Trinity United Methodist Church. As we begin this morning, I just want to lift up a few announcements and encourage you to look through the bulletin at all the other things that are happening here at our church. Today, following the 11 o'clock service, starting right at 12 noon, there'll be an opening reception for Trinity's talent show, All God's Creations, up on the second floor of the education building. Again, that starts at noon. And I encourage you to go up and take this opportunity to see that art display, what's up there. It will be on display until August 28th. The other announcement I want to lift up to you today is one of the many exciting ministries we have going on at this church is working with the homeless of the Gainesville area. And if you had a chance to look at the paper, the Gainesville Sun this morning, you noticed it was on the front page again talking about Gainesville homeless. And so this afternoon at 2:30, Trinity will be working with other congregations in the community down at First United Methodist Church downtown to provide a meal to the local homeless. So I encourage you to come down, join me, my wife, and my two boys, as Andrew and the rest of the crew at First United Methodist Church at 2:30 this afternoon as we feed the homeless. Let us pray as we begin this time of worship together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, creator and sustainer of all things, we know that you are the good shepherd, that you welcome us into the fold. Lord, we just ask that you take the distractions of this world out of our minds now. Help us to prepare our hearts and our minds to worship you. Bless that we may rediscover Jesus Christ again today, that we may take that word and live it throughout our daily lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
all please stand and sing. That sounded pretty good, though. Stand and sing hymn number 62, All Creatures of Our God and King. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Praise ye, hallelujah. Oh, brother sun with golden beam. Oh, sister moon with silver gleam. Praise ye, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, brother, when there are clouds and rain, by which all creatures be sustained, praise ye, hallelujah. The rising morn in praise rejoice.
Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
All right, good morning. As we get ready for the preschool presentation, we're very excited. We've been practicing this little light of mine for quite some time now. And we have our lights, we have our scarves with us to accentuate our presence this morning. We'll be singing two songs, This Little Light of Mine, and then the second one we'll close with Deep and Wide. So we hope you enjoy our performance. Don't they look great? Name to bump your head. We have a brief set change and then we'll be singing our next piece. This is our favorite part in Sunday school when we get to collect the scarves. Thank you. Anybody hiding one? Oh, you were. Okay, we're good. Oh, thank you, Bradley. Can I have your scarf, Paul? Thank you, sir. All right, we're good.
Deep and wide.
did a great job today. That's your preschool Sunday school music class.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, Dustin, for all your hard work in there. As they were going on singing, Troy and I leaned over and we said we probably should have gone up there to be able to watch this whole thing happen. But it was actually more fun for me to watch the moms and dads out in the audience. So now I know what I looked like whenever my boys were that age, so that was always good. We come now to the point of the worship service where we as a congregation of God's church can come together and to lift up those of our flock that are celebrating as well as struggling. We have a list of names on the screen coming up of those that are in the hospital, those in rehab, and those in hospice. We ask that you lift each of those individuals up individually as well as collectively. I also want to add a couple of others we've learned of today. Ask you to lift up Paul and Virginia O'Brien as they've continued to struggle this past week with some health issues. And also Kathy Adgate, who's Fred Hammond's mother. Fred attends the 8:15 service. She has been in and out of the hospital for the last 4 to 6 weeks and struggling both with the physical parts of healing, but also the mental drain that all that hospital time and healing can have on a person. So we ask you to lift up Kathy as well as Fred in your prayers. Let us go to the Lord in prayer today. Please join me. Most gracious God and Heavenly Father, we know that you are here with us to celebrate both the good and the bad. Lord, today we lift up the words of David found in Psalms 25. And Lord, we ask that you seed these words in our heart and make this our prayer for today and for every day. Lord, I put my life in your hands. I trust in you, my God, and I will not be disappointed. No one who trusts in you will be disappointed, but disappointment will come. Lord, help me learn your ways. Show me how you want me to live. Guide me and teach me your truths. You are my God, my Savior. You are the one I have been waiting for. Remember to be kind to me, O Lord. Show me the tender love that you always had. Don't remember the sinful things I did when I was young. Because you are good, Lord, remember me with your faithful love. The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows sinners the right way to live. He teaches his ways to humble people. He leads them with fairness. The Lord is kind and true to those who obey what he said in his agreement. Lord, I know I have done many wrongs, but I ask you to forgive them all to show your goodness. When people choose to follow the Lord, he shows them the best way to live. I always look to the Lord for help. Only he can free me from my troubles. Lord, I am hurt and I am lonely. Turn to me. Show me mercy. Free me from my troubles. Help me solve my problems. Look at my trials and my troubles. Forgive me for all the sins I have done. Look at all the enemies I have. They hate me and want to hurt me. Protect me, O God. Save me from them. I come to you for protection, so don't let me be disappointed. You are a good and righteous God, and you do what is right. I trust you to protect me. Lord, make this our prayer. Help us to live this out. And Lord, with one voice, we come together and lift up the words your Son Jesus Christ taught us to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today with our mission moment, one of the many missions that we have opportunity to participate in as members of this congregation is the Kira Grace Foundation. And we have a short video clip we'd like to show to tell you a little bit about this foundation and the exciting and powerful work that it does with a very strong local connection.
Children and cancer. Two words a parent never wants to hear in the same sentence. Yet, approximately 160,000 children are diagnosed with cancer every year. And sadly, survival depends on where you live. In developing countries, at least 80% of children with cancer die because of lack of treatment. In the United States, 80% survive. We have the cure. They don't.
If your child is diagnosed with cancer and you live in the United States, there's an excellent chance that your child will survive. But if you live in a developing country and your child is diagnosed with cancer, that diagnosis of cancer is the same thing as a death sentence.
Kira Grace Foundation addresses a major overlooked health tragedy by delivering proven cancer treatment to children in developing countries.
By delivering proven cancer treatments that we have here in the United States, we can increase survival rates by more than 400% in developing countries, and we can do it for a fraction of the cost.
For the same cost of treating one pediatric cancer patient in the United States, 10 children can be treated in a developing nation.
Treating cancer is very complicated and dangerous. If the medical team doesn't have the right tools, training, or consultation from cancer specialists, then their best efforts may be in vain.
Kira Grace Foundation creates a collaboration between U.S. oncologists and medical teams in developing nations while supporting four key areas of cancer treatment: staffing, training, infrastructure, and consultation.
When we first started working in these countries, doctors were forced to take a second job just to make ends meet, and that left very little time for our patients. Nurses were losing their hair because of improper handling of chemotherapy agents. And overall, there was a lack of infrastructure, and more importantly, a lack of access to expert consultation, which is critical in taking care of these patients. By supporting medical teams in these key areas, we're seeing dramatic shifts in cure rates.
Kira Grace Foundation is saving lives and is a good ending to a story that had a tragic beginning.
My wife, Eileen, and I know personally what it's like to have a child diagnosed with cancer. In 2003, both of our children were simultaneously diagnosed with cancer. Our son survived, but our daughter, Kira, did not. We know the pain of losing a child to cancer, but we also know about the hope that comes with the cure. And it's that experience that brought us to the point where we wanted to make a big impact for those kids that had absolutely no hope.
The good news is that the treatment of children's cancer has improved dramatically over the past 30 years. So in our country, we have the cure at hand.
By sharing the cure, Kira Grace Foundation brings hope, restoration, and life to children with cancer in developing countries. Will you help us fulfill Kira's legacy?
Please share the cure.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Pardon? Lazardo here. Thank you so much for being here today. What a powerful, powerful ministry. And the opportunity that we have to participate in that ministry. And what a powerful video that even someone as cold and heartless as I am gets touched by it every time that I see it. And I got to watch it 3 times today. So far I've made it without tearing up. But I got one more time to go. But I encourage you to participate in this ministry of the church through the mission boxes we have at all the doors as we go through here today. One of the other exciting ministries that we have of this church is each of us. So I encourage you to stand now and greet those around you and just say, welcome home, and welcome them to our church today.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you. Please be seated. The ministries of this church reach far and wide, maybe officially within the church or maybe with other organizations. We're happy to welcome back Ariane Smith, who's visiting us back with one more year of service still in the Peace Corps. We're so glad to have her back with us today. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Dear gracious and Heavenly Father, we just come to you and thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather as one of your many congregations to celebrate you and to return to you a portion of that which you've given us. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every gift that we give today. But more importantly, Lord, we ask that you bless each and every one of us and the service we provide of sharing your light throughout the world in the many ways and the many gifts and talents that you've given each of us to do that. Lord, we ask that your special presence come upon Troy today and that his words be your words and that your words come and rest deep in our hearts and our minds today so that we may learn more about you and your calling for each of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
People come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better, because I knew you. I have been changed for good. It well may be that we will never meet again in this lifetime, so let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you
like a wind off the sea, like a sea dropped by a sky bird in a distant wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, because I knew you, I have been changed for good. And just to clear the air, I ask forgiveness for the things I've done you blame me for. But then I guess we know there's blame to share, and none of it seems to matter anymore. Like a common cold mortar, as it passes, like a wind off the like a stream that meets the colder, halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? I do believe I have been changed for the better. And because I knew you, because I knew you, because I knew you, I have been changed for good.
Wow. Sarah and Rachel, thank you. That was beautiful. One of my favorite musicals is the musical Wicked. I know many of you have seen that. One of my claims to fame is that Kristen Chenoweth, who starred in that musical, was graduated with my son from college, and they were friends. So a very, very talented person indeed. And that was just a marvelous job. Thank you so much. Hard to preach following that. I probably should just say amen and go home, but... Amen. Thank you. There's always somebody to help keep us humble, and DJ happens to be in that row. Thank you so much. I preached yesterday out at Oak Hammock. I preach out there once a quarter and also at the Village. I love to preach out there. And I mentioned the fact that I used to be an associate minister in a town called Moultrie, Georgia. Some of you know where that is or been there. And there was a lady who came up afterwards and asked me if I knew a doctor there named Dr. Walter Harrison. And Dr. Harrison delivered my son and was one of my dearest friends in the world. And I was thinking about what a small world it is, but also I realized that in my sermon today, I'm actually making reference to Dr. Harrison. And I hadn't even thought about those connections. But she also reminded me of a dear lady in the church where I was associate minister who almost every time I preached, at the end of the service would say to me as she filed out of church, "Sonny boy, you're going to be a good preacher one day." It always made me feel good. 40 years later, I'm still working on it. I don't know whether I've arrived yet or not, but I'm still trying. Our scripture reading for the day is taken from John's Gospel, a classic story we all know so well. I hope I'll shed some new light on it this day. That's John 21, verses 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Well, take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, all be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a parable told some years ago of a man who said, I want to be more like God. I want to know more about Him, and I want to be more like Him. And so he went to see a wise man. And he asked the wise man, what must I do to be more like God? And the wise man said, you go out into the kingdom and you feed all of the horses. And when you do, you'll be more like God. So the man went out into the kingdom and he fed all of the horses. And when he'd finished feeding all the horses, he didn't feel more like God. And so he went back to the wise man and said, it didn't work. I don't feel more like God. What should I do? And the wise man said, go out into all the kingdom and feed all the cattle. And when you do, come back and you'll feel more like God. And so he did. He went out into the kingdom and he fed all of the cattle. And when he'd finished feeding all the cattle, he didn't feel more like God. And he came back to the wise man. He said, it didn't work. What else must I do? And the wise man said, go into all the world and feed all of the hungry children. And when you do, you'll feel more like God. And the man took one step back and he said, I don't want to feel more like God. I just want to be an ordinary person. That's all. But I got news for you, my friends. When we follow after our Lord Jesus Christ, we can no longer be an ordinary person. Because He calls us to do extraordinary things in His name. And this story, which we just read a moment ago, illustrates it far better than anything I could ever say. As you know, Jesus appeared several times after His resurrection. This is one of the times He appeared to His disciples, one of the last times He appeared. They had been out fishing that morning, and Simon Peter was preparing breakfast over a fire on the shore. And Jesus came walking up and engaged in this dialogue that would really, in many ways, change the course of Christian history and even change our lives today. It seemed at first to be a very simple question. Jesus asked Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? In other words, do you love me more than anything else or more than anybody else? And Simon Peter wondered, why would he ask me that? And he thought for a moment and he said, why, yes, Jesus, I do love you. And Jesus hesitated for just a moment and he said, well, feed my sheep. Some time went by and Jesus turned to Simon Peter and said, Simon Peter, do you really love me? By this time, Simon Peter was beginning to feel uncomfortable with the direction this conversation was taking, and he said, Jesus, you know everything. You know I love you. And Jesus said, well, tend my lambs. And then a little more time went by, and Jesus turned to Simon Peter a third time and said, Simon Peter, do you love me more than anything else? And Simon Peter by this time was becoming agitated and somewhat frustrated and he was feeling a little bit threatened. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Why would you ask me that? And Jesus very calmly said, well, Simon Peter, if you love me, then go and feed my lamb. Now, just think for a moment. What if we had been in that conversation with Jesus? What if Jesus had asked us, do you love me? Why, we'd say, sure I love you. I go to church every Sunday, don't I? I sing hymns about loving you, Jesus. You know I love you. I listen to sermons. I listen to Bible studies. I go to Sunday school. You know I love you. Well, Jesus would say, prove it. It's not enough for you to say you love me. Your words have got to be ushered into deeds. It's fine to say you love me. That's okay. But that is not enough. Prove it to me. Show me that you love me. Feed my sheep. As I mentioned earlier, my first appointment at a seminary was as an associate minister in Moultrie, Georgia. And my dearest friend was the doctor that delivered my son. And he was just a great guy, had a great sense of humor, fun to be around. Every Thursday afternoon, we had a standing day. We played tennis every Thursday afternoon. That was his afternoon off. If it was raining, we went to the YMCA and we played racquetball. And he took great pride in the fact that he always, always, always beat me. But nevertheless, we always had a good time together. And his wife, well, I'm trying to be politically correct here, was odd. Just a little bit different. Now, aren't we all odd? I mean, let's be honest. In some way, we all are. But almost every Sunday when they came to church, she would stop me at the end of the service and she'd say, one of these nights, Walter and I are going to invite you over to our house to have dinner with us. Every Sunday for 4 years. One of these nights, I'm going to invite you over to have dinner with us. Well, after a while, when she would say that, I'd say, yeah, thank you so much. I look forward to that one day. Now, she did invite me over the night before we were moving from Moultrie to our next church. But the reason I tell that story is because saying so doesn't make it so. Saying we love Jesus doesn't make it so. It's easy to say it. It's difficult to live it, isn't it? Jesus was putting Simon Peter to the test. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me more than anything else? If you do, then you'll prove it. You'll go out there in the world and you'll feed the sheep. Now we're thinking, why would Jesus suggest that Peter go out and feed the sheep? There were a lot of sheep in that part of the world. Well, that's not really what he meant. What he meant was, go out into all the world and tell the good news of the gospel to all that you meet. Go out and share that good news with every person you encounter in your life. Go out and feed the people on the gospel message. Now, the conversation seems to have ended there with him saying for the third time, feed my sheep. Now, let's use our imagination this morning if we can. And let's just pretend that the conversation goes on a little bit further than that. Just imagine, if you can, for a minute. Simon Peter may have asked, well, Jesus, with what should I feed your lambs? And I think that Jesus might have answered that question by saying, well, Simon Peter, you feed the lambs on the uncompromised Word of God. Jesus may have said to Simon Peter, you invite the people to the banquet table, and at the banquet table, you feast on the bread of life. And in that bread of life is everything we need to sustain us. And then I believe that Simon Peter may have said, where do I find that bread of life? And I think Jesus might have responded by saying, you're looking at it. I am the bread of life. I have everything that you need. I have grace and love and forgiveness and hope and abundant life and all the things you need. Everything is in that bread of life that you need. You're looking at it. I am the bread of life. Go out and feed people upon my word. Go out and tell them about me. Now, you know, many times we say something like, I'm really starving. You ever said that before? What you're really saying is, I haven't eaten in a couple of hours and I'm really hungry. We don't know anything about starving, really, do we? Not really. The closest I ever came to that experience, I was on a 9-day canoe trip years ago out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, literally nowhere. And this was long before cell phones. And on the 6th day of the trip, we had a terrible storm that came up and turned over all the canoes, and we lost most of our stuff, including almost all of our food. So for 3 days, we couldn't call for help, and we had no food. So I began to understand at least a little bit about what it meant to be really hungry. And when we got to our destination, I know the first thing I wanted to do was eat. Just bring me some food. And I ate and I ate and I ate, and I ate way too much. And then it occurred to me that I was full for the moment, but in a few hours, or at least in another day, I'd be hungry again. Well, this bread of life that Jesus talks about satisfies our hunger for an eternity. We never hunger again spiritually when we feed upon the bread of life. When we sit together at that banquet table and we sit at the feet of Jesus. I love the hymn that we often sing in the United Methodist Church entitled, Freely, Freely. In fact, I wish I had suggested we sing that today. But let me share some words from that hymn maybe you have not noticed before. Listen to these words. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share His love as He told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. I just love those words. Listen to that line once again. If you love me, feed my sheep. I come to you to share His love as He told me to. He told Simon Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. He tells us, if you love me, feed my sheep. He says, if you love me, do something that makes a difference. Act on it. Live it. Share it with other people. One might say this is really the message of Easter, is it not? That Jesus came to die for us, to save us from our sins, so that in turn we may go out and share His resurrection and His good news with other people. Isn't that what we're called to do as Christians? To tell the good news of the gospel. I had a good friend who went on a mission trip to Jamaica. Now some of you might smile and think, Jamaica, yeah, sure, they went to Jamaica on a mission trip. Because most people who go to Jamaica are tourists and they go there and stay in the nice hotels and the resorts and things like that. But if you drive very far into the island of Jamaica, you'll find some of the worst poverty in the world. And that's where this mission team was working. And this friend was telling me this story. I'll never forget it. She said, one day while we were there, a young mother came to me begging me to take her young child back home with me. She said, here, take my child. Would you please just take my child back home? Because I know if he stays here, he may not ever grow up. He may face famine or hunger or disease. Please, won't you take my child back home with you? And my friend said she became physically ill. And she said, I can't take your child. I just can't do it. But she said, I realized at that moment the enormity of need in this world. How many people are hurting? How many people are in need? How many people need to be fed on the bread of life? And she said, I just was completely overwhelmed by how many people need the love of Christ in their lives. We're called to go out into the entire world to meet the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual needs of all God's children. That's what we're all called to do, is to go and feed the sheep, to go and make a difference in the lives of other people. Easter has come and gone for another year, but my friends, the message of Easter lives on every day. Every day. That Jesus came and He died for us. He was raised from the dead and He appeared to His people and He said, if you love me, go out and feed my sheep. go out and tend my lambs. I work for a number of years for Habitat for Humanity International and travel all over the world. And I had the chance to meet some just amazingly wonderful people, most of whom were very, very wealthy people, because my job was to go and receive large gifts for Habitat. And these just were some of the nicest people I ever met. There were a few not so nice, but most were really, really nice people. And in fact, sometimes when I went in to meet with these CEOs of some of the large companies, basically what they'd say is, look, I got to give money away. I don't really care where it goes. I got to get tax break. Just take it and go. Whatever you want. I don't care. But this particular time, I was at the Charles Schwab company in San Francisco, their headquarters, and met Charles Schwab while I was there. And I met one of his top executives. And he was 42 years old. He said, Troy, I made more money than I ever dreamed I would make in my lifetime. I've made more money. I've achieved more success. I've reached one of the highest levels in this company. I've accomplished more than you can imagine. And I am completely miserable. He said, I've got all the money I could ever want, all the things that money can buy, and I'm miserable. Why am I miserable, he said? Because God has called me to do so much more than I'm doing now. And he said, just the other night, I woke up in the middle of the night and I realized it's time to do something different. I made the decision to start a foundation, he said, and my foundation is going to support people who are victims of war all over the world. And this was during the time when they were having ethnic cleansing in Bosnia. And 1 month from the day that I was in his office, he resigned from his job at Charles Schwab. And he left and for 1 year lived in Bosnia, living among the people in the hospitals, the people who were victims of war, doing what God had called him to do. Put his life at risk to be able to feed the lambs on the bread of life. Now, my dear friends, I'm not suggesting that we go into war-torn countries. I'm not suggesting that we put our lives on the line. What I'm suggesting is that we need to go next door or down the street or across town or somewhere where there are people, and we need to feed God's lambs on the uncompromised Word of God. Jesus asked Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than anybody? Then if you do, feed my lamb. My question to you this morning is this. Do you love Jesus? Do you? If you do, can anybody tell it? Does anybody know it? If you love Jesus, feed his lamb. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we've sung the hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And we've had no idea what we were saying. No idea what it meant to really love you. And beginning today, when we leave this place, may we leave carrying the bread of life with us. And when we do, may we feed your lambs. Amen. Alice approached me just a day or two ago. She said, when I heard about your sermon today, a song that I've been singing since I was in junior high just kept ringing through my mind. She said, I think it's a God thing. And she said, I'd like to sing this after your sermon. And while she sings and plays along with Janet, you're invited to come to this altar table or come and receive Holy Communion. if you will. You may remain seated while she sings, and come as you wish.
Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, over all a vigil keep. In my name lead them forth, gently as a shepherd. When they wander, when they stray, their protector be. As ye do unto my flock, thus ye do to me. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, over all a vigil keep. In my name lead them forth, gently as a shepherd. Unto all who lose the way, hope and comfort be. As ye do unto
I think it'd be appropriate to applaud that beautiful song. Anytime I preach, I always make this statement at the end of the service, and that is that the service doesn't end here. Rather, the service begins here. When you leave this place, that's when you begin to serve. So leave this place today prepared to go out and serve others in the name of Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the honor and privilege it's ours to be in worship, to hear Your Word preached once again. May we be inspired and challenged and renewed to go forth from this place to feed Your sheep. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived.